You have your Bibles, you want to follow along. We're going to look into the Gospel of Luke today, Luke chapter 2. But the title of the sermon is called Good Growth. So I want you to think about that in certain terms in different areas. I'm going to pose questions for us as we go through. But man, one of the things that we celebrate this morning is the growth in our children through the year. Parents, I hope that you've seen some progression in their maybe mastery of the alphabet. Before school, maybe they could do A and B and C, but now they can do the whole thing, or they can count and different things. We've hoped that you've seen some academic growth through there. I'm pretty sure you could say you saw some physical growth as they changed through the year. If you think of your growth in regards to maybe good growth in regards to your financial investments, you would say, yeah, I'd like to see that going up, right? Good growth for the aspiring young man who's trying to grow a beard with their teammates. Good growth would mean a few extra hairs on the chin, right? All right. Good growth. Well, maybe good growth can actually be a recession of the waistline for some of us who are getting a little older. So good growth. This passage this morning is unique because it takes us into a story, really one of the only childhood stories of Jesus recorded in Scripture. And we're going to remind you that Jesus grew. And as Jesus is our guide and our example, if Jesus can grow in different areas, then there's hope for us and also a goal for us to grow as well. But I want to encourage you that we don't always see growth right away or in amazing things. I want you to look at the picture that's on the screen. We planted these last year. And then you see that this is the church in the background in the Gaga pit. And you look at two of them and say, hey, there's some pretty good growth on two of those plants, right? It's pretty noticeable. It's pretty evident. And we'll show you those pictures a little closer as we go to the next slide. That one looks, man, there's no doubt. That thing's growing, right? It's getting nutrients from the soil. It's taking them to the branches, and it's producing this foliage. The one on the right, which looked dead, the one in the middle, actually, we were just astounded. We were excited as we got closer to this thing and looked in and kept watching and waiting. We see little bursts of green buds coming out and say, wow, there is growth here. So the word there, the encouragement for us is as we look for growth and we celebrate it and we talk and think about it, it won't always be so evident as the bush on the left. And sometimes our growth comes in different stages and in different ways, as evidenced by the bush in the middle. Well, let's listen to this text from Luke 2 as we encourage you this morning for good spiritual growth. Chapter 41. Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. Youth and children that are here, who's close to 12? Rusty, you 13, 11, 13? Rusty, can you stand up real quick? Ella, how old are you? 12, 13? 12? Okay, Stevens, 12? Okay, just I stand up so they can see how old a 12-year-old boy or girl would look like. 13. All right, 13. 14? 13. All right, so this is about the age of Jesus, right? Traveling with his parents. Okay, thank you. Thank you, 12, 13-year-olds. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began to look for him among their relatives and friends. And just imagine the parents now. Right? You just made a day trip and you realized your child is still at the rest stop. When they did not find him in the company, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, that was the day out, that was the day back, and the day looking, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. And his parents, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." Jesus responded, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. May God add his blessing to the reading and teaching of his word. I want to encourage you this morning to think about your growth, good growth, in the realm of three things that are suggested from this text. The first is the participation in the life of faith. You heard early in this text that his parents would travel from Nazareth to Jerusalem for different things. In this case, it was the Feast of the Passover. This was a one-week celebration in March through April. So I just want you to think of the effort and the anticipation and then the journey of doing this. This was a big deal, right? To go and make this big trip. They had to pack food. They had to get ready, get all the things around, and then go and they celebrate there in Jerusalem and then go back. That would be like, this is like a pinnacle. This is a highlight. Three feasts were expected. The Jewish people were expected to return to Jerusalem. That was one. The other was Feast of Harvest, which we then associate with Pentecost in May and June, and also the celebration of Tabernacles in October. So definite markers through the year where faith was important enough for them to make big journeys. I also want to encourage you to think about the community that was formed in that traveling party, making that distance travel together, relationships and stories and hardships and problems that were solved along the way as they traveled. Just the knitting together of this community over this approximately 80-mile journey, I think, is something that's significant to this. They would get to know their neighbors and friends a little bit, and that's something that we hope for here too, that we build relationships and form networks as we participate in the life of faith together. Sometimes we get that through the experience of a mission trip or serving here. We just had one, actually, this week. Some of you saw maybe the scaffolding and the things around the pavilion. We put a new roof on, so thank you to those men and women who helped make that possible. Hopefully that roof will enable ministry and celebrations and gatherings to happen for another 30 years in this life of faith. But being together on this experience, participating in a life of faith, brings us together. We hope it connects people into relationships. I had the chance to connect with some of the nursery school parents this year as you drop off your kids and as I'm hanging out there and maybe even at the picnic this week for some of you guys. Connect and form relationships with different people. Some of our moms here in the church connect certain times during the month in a mom's minute, and they get together to find comfort and encouragement in the life of raising children. And we hope that small groups help us to form these connections here in the body of faith. Note in the story that Jesus was 12. In the Jewish progression from childhood to adulthood, there was a definite marker. For boys, it was called the Bar Mitzvah, and it was celebrated at 13. In this text, it identified Jesus as the boy in verse 43. This would have been his last Passover as a boy. So, you know, when boys try to become into men, they kind of think that they sometimes are men before they're quite ready for to be man. I don't know what was going on here for sure, but Jesus certainly, this would be remembered as, remember that time Jesus was there and he didn't come home with us? That was his 12th one. But the question then is this, for us to really kind of dig into this morning in this area. What does it look like? What would good growth be for you and for me in regards to this point, in the participation in the life of faith? For some of us, it might just mean getting connected, which might mean going to church or getting involved in a small group. I think good growth would mean that faith is important enough in our lives to impact our decisions and to help us connect to the church and to healthy relationships. There's a season of my life prior to children where connecting to the church wasn't a priority. I've learned that when I didn't go to church, the Holy Spirit would always convict me and make me think about that. But it's really easy to get out of the habit of going. It doesn't take long for you to kind of develop a new habit and just kind of stay. Our prayer is that you would have a desire to want to gather with the body. It even says in Hebrews that we should not give up the habit of meeting together. Amen. What does good growth mean? Well, it might just mean connecting, participating, going. I pray that good growth for some might mean being in relationships together and not experiencing rejection or hurt or conflict or some other negative experience. I thought about this and how do we define good? So what I'm saying here is that I define good growth in light of participating with the body of faith by eliminating or minimizing the negative experience. There are times when people try to connect to the body of faith and they don't feel connected. They're not greeted. They're not plugged in. And they sit alone. Or someone gets on them right away for something. And then they say, I don't want any part of that. That's not what we're going for. We pray that good growth means that you have less of a bad of experience when coming. Amen. All right? So, but I also think good can mean the presence of things that we like and that are good. Connecting to others through conversation, sharing, serving, and finding support or encouragement, and maybe even a friend. Good, the inclusion of pleasant and helpful in relationships. So I want you to think about that in your life, in your family. What does good growth mean for you in regards to participating in the life of faith? The next thing that I wanted to point at in this story is really what Jesus was doing. And we don't get to this point until we see there's a conflict in the story. Where's Jesus? He's missing. Traveling, they would never forget the year that Jesus went missing. After 3 days, they found him. This provides the time frame for Jesus' excursion in the temple courts. It's really interesting to think about what you would do as a 12-year-old in a city that you were somewhat familiar with, but all alone, no parents. Who fed him? Where did he sleep? Right? Did he tag into some other families? Or did he go with some of the rabbis or teachers that were there? It's interesting to ponder that. Well, Jesus was hanging out with the religious elite. These are the top line audience where Jesus turned some heads. The teachers were rabbis who were scholars of the Mosaic Law. Now, you got to understand how bizarre this was culturally. In a culture that often kept children at bay on the fringes. Remember the disciples, when the people were bringing children to Jesus, they tried to keep them away, and Jesus says, no, let them come to me. They were just doing what the culture did. They didn't want to bother the adults, especially the males, and especially the religious elite, with noisy, active, squirmy children. But Jesus said, let them come to me. My HCSB Study Bible writes, it was highly unusual for a boy to be welcomed by a group of rabbis, much less amaze them with brilliant scriptural understanding. Jesus' actions display a desire to be around the hearing, teaching, and discussion of God's word. And at the end of this passage, Luke tells us that Jesus grew. Four areas are listed. He grew in wisdom. He grew in stature, which I think that's probably the easiest for us to believe and right to understand. Right? Kids, healthy kids and babies are going to grow. And he grew in favor with God and favor of men. It says that all were amazed at his understanding and his answers. At the age of 12, Jesus was demonstrating his uniqueness of understanding and questioning in order to expound the scriptures. And we see this, we see Jesus really put this on display when you read the Gospels. Jesus would tell those who are questioning and looking into things, he says, haven't you heard what was written? Right? He was able to take them, and even then to take a concept, spiritual concept, and teach a parable or a story that would raise a spiritual, one or two spiritual truths through that story. He was a master of it. In fact, he was, as described by John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, he was there in the beginning, and he became flesh, and he took on flesh and lived among us. So Jesus was the one through whom all the Old Testament was spoken and given. But it's interesting to think about the dynamic of him emptying himself of the glory of heaven, and then as a child growing up into this point where, yeah, he realizes he has knowledge and mastery of all the scripture. It's an interesting thing to think about. But we know that he did. He astounded them when he was 12. His growth in the area of understanding the scriptures and stepping into his calling would lead him to state just a few years later, if you turn through in Luke, just to a few pages over to chapter 4, he says this in his hometown. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor that Jesus brought in was the era of grace. Grace that we received through his death on the cross and rising from the dead. The question I want you to think about this morning is, because we know Jesus grew in this area, what does it mean for us to experience healthy or good growth in our understanding and application of God's word? Right? So I just thought about several scenarios and I'll lay them out for you, but I want you to take that question with you. What does it mean for you to grow in your understanding and your acquiring and your learning of God's word? Well, for some of us, it might mean good growth might be simply to hear it or to read it on a regular basis. Sometimes maybe we don't, even though it's readily accessible for us, not only here in paper, but also on our phones and in devices, we can have the Bible read to us. I think some of the athletes at the local district track meet were doing that. They were telling them over and over and again, take the earbuds out of your ear as you're warming up. I think, well, maybe they're listening to the Bible, right? Maybe. Maybe not. What does it mean for us to experience good growth in our understanding and application of God's word? I think it also might mean this. Good growth would be, as Jesus stated in John 5:39, that those who studied scripture and grew in knowledge would come to him for life. But he says in John 5:39 that those that were studying the scripture, maybe even some of the ones, the rabbis and the Pharisees that he was meeting with, they studied scripture and they grew in knowledge, but they never came to Jesus for a saving relationship. Jesus says, yet you refuse to come to me. They choose not to come to him. I believe the goal of the Bible is to illustrate who God is and his plan for us. I believe the Old Testament's point to Jesus. When you read scripture, I pray that it helps you grow in relationship with him and ultimately come to a knowledge and a saving faith in Jesus Christ. That would be more than good growth. That would be great growth, right? Because that's a crossover from death to life. The scriptures point to this great thing that God did. What would good growth mean for some of us who are already there? We says, yes, I believe. I know it points to Jesus. I've received him. I believe. We can continue to grow. Paul says, I have not yet reached perfection. I haven't done it yet right. Good growth, it might mean that the kingdom principles begin even more to shape our worldview. How we see each other, how we see people, how we see babies, how we see life and relationships, how we think about money or sex, how we think about eternal life. When the scriptures begin to impact our thinking and shape our worldview, I think that would be good growth. Even so, then, that it would affect our actions and the way we live. Because if it only affects the way we think and doesn't yet get to our actions, then there's still a divide. Good growth would be taking the truths of scriptures, allowing them to see the world as it is based on what God has said, and then living in accordance with those. Amen. The final thing I want you to think about as we get from this text is our relationships with God and with others. Maybe I can just do a real quick survey. How many parents here sometimes recognize there's a disconnect between the way your children or you think and the way you think? Yeah. Some are like, oh, yes. Well, we see this in this text, don't we? Right? They come back and mom says, son, why have you treated us like this? What are you doing? And the son says, where did you think I'd be? Right? Where did you think I'd be? The growth and wisdom of Jesus was demonstrated, I believe, through an increase of application of knowledge. And this is true of our own children. As they grow older, we give them more responsibility. We give them bigger tasks to do around the home. Eventually, if they pass their permit tests and their license, we eventually say, we allow you to drive the car. Wow. Right? We're trusting you with bigger decisions. As Jesus approached manhood, greater responsibilities increased inside and outside the home or the office and provided the opportunity for knowledge to be applied through action. The result was the growth in favor with God and with men. It was not like Jesus was out of favor with God, because we know that Jesus never sinned. But he began to live and act in ways that pleased the Father more and more because he was given more and more responsibility in the home. Right? Can you imagine Jesus, the son of a carpenter, taking a finished product over to a person's house and that person didn't want to treat them rightly because of something that was on the table that they made them? And Jesus, a 12, 13-year-old, had to deal with that awkward situation? What do I do here? Right? So you can see that Jesus grew in his responsibilities, which then provided opportunities for him to act and demonstrate the wisdom that he had, which pleased God and also men. The immediate application of a 12-year-old, 1 year away from being a man in the culture, to demonstrate obedience and gain favor with men was in submitting to his parents. Now, all you 12-year-olds and 13-year-olds that had stand, just tune in for this one a little bit, okay? Because your parents want you to hear this. Okay? Here we go. Well, all of us were there, right? All of us were there at one time. 16, 17-year-old. And even if we had great, loving, caring parents that were doing a great job, there was something in us that kind of just like, I don't know if I want to pick up that stuff you told me to pick up. Right? There was just something that was like yearning for autonomy, yearning to be away, and just didn't want anyone to kind of put any kind of instruction on us. The compulsion to react this way was overcome by Jesus, because I believe he was impacted by scriptures. Do you know what the first commandment with a promise is? It's to honor your father and mother so that it may go well with you. So, Jesus did. He went down with them. He went to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Obedient to them. I think it's interesting to note that there's a positive correlation between Jesus' growth in favor with God to his growth in favor with men. But Jesus really lived in this place that we are invited into now as we understand our Heavenly Father and also people around us. Here's an example that's illustrated in Scripture. 1 John 4:20. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he's given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Love God. Love God, respond to him, be in favor with him, right? Obey him. Then we got to make that work in the horizontal realm as well. Here's the tension. One time Jesus was in a group, his parents, his family couldn't get near him, and someone said, "Hey, Jesus, your mother, your brother, your family, they're outside." And he says, "Listen, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." So here he was saying, listen, I'm responding first to my Heavenly Father. Love him first. I identify with him and that family. It wasn't that he was dissing his mom or saying, "I don't really even know Mary." No. He loved her. He cared for her even while he was on the cross. But he understood loving God, responding to him. And I think when we do that, then we're also compelled to love people as well. Amen. Jesus grew in favor with God and also in favor with people. What does it look like to grow in regards to our relationship with God and others? Let's first talk about with God. What does good relational growth in your relationship with God look like? Maybe for you it means experiencing more things together. And what I mean is having an awareness of him and actually seeking him, inviting him into everything in your life. Because sometimes can't we compartmentalize and say, you know what, I want God right here all the time. I need him now. I want God here and I'm praying over my children and this. But when we're thinking about doing those things which we think are maybe somewhat shady, we say, you know what, I'm going to keep God over there and go ahead and do this thing over here. What if good growth means that we say, you know what, God's with me. He's aware. I want him to be there in every place that I go, and I want to obey him everywhere. To experience his joy in this relationship. Good relational growth with God might mean engaging in better communication with God. Right? How do we communicate? Well, we pray. We can talk to God. Good growth might mean you establish some new prayer habits and actually prioritize prayer in your life. maybe even journaling. This, and through this, you share an increased intimacy and honesty with God, where your prayers go into the depths of your needs and your wants and your hurts and your struggles, and you begin to talk honestly. And then you read His communication to us, and you look for His message to us through His Word. What does this mean to me, God? What are you saying to me through this? Maybe good growth can happen in your life that way. And maybe even good relational growth with God might be evidenced with a greater sense of His working in our lives, where the fruit of the Holy Spirit who lives within us is producing things that are new and different, right? Love, joy, and peace. I'm beginning to love people who I couldn't love before or hard to love. I'm experiencing joy in places where before I just experienced anxiety. And I know it's because of this relationship that I have with God, and it's deepening and it's growing in me. You can go through the whole list. Think about that question. And isn't it your desire to grow in your relationship with the Almighty? And just think about that. We have a chance to have a relationship with the Almighty, the one who created everything. Oh, gee whiz. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, how about on the horizontal level? What would it mean for us? What are we looking for? What does good growth mean when we look about this with our favor with people? Well, I don't know. Here's one thought. It might mean that you make new relationships. You make a new friend. Be aware of what's going on around you. Maybe you see someone that's sitting by themselves or standing in or needs help, and you go and you meet them. Stepping out of your comfort and into a relationship with another person. That might be a way to grow, and maybe even good growth. Amen. Maybe good relational growth with people might mean you serve them in some way. You serve them as Christ served the church, sacrificially. And that can maybe be even at home, right? We serve our spouses, we serve our children, right? We even maybe serve our neighbor. Maybe good relational growth with people might mean sacrificing my preference for the good of the group. If you're someone that demands your way, your radio station has to be played all the time, right? They don't change my dial. This is my car, my station, right? Hands off. Sacrificing for the good of the whole. Maybe not always demanding your way or throwing a fit when you don't get your way might be good relational growth with people. I think in this area we can also put, if you're a very good speaker and you like to talk when you're with people all the time and you feel like you're jumping in when everyone takes a breath, good relational growth might be not talking as much. Amen. Sometimes I get cues when the sermon's about over, right? Now, on the other... There's another side to that. Let me see if I can say it. Sometimes, if you're a very good listener and you can hear and you attune very well, sometimes relational growth might be from you to share the thought that's so clearly in your head that you often don't. And you just need to speak it at the appropriate time. You see, we all have different ways for us to approach what good growth is in terms of relationship with other people. I think Jesus demonstrated this as well, and I'll share this as the last one here with relational growth. Good relational growth with others may mean an increased awareness of when to retreat from people so that you can find rest and refill for the next time. Jesus would often just leave his disciples and go away for rest. Good relational growth with people might just mean lingering with others and not rushing to do the next thing. That might challenge us a little bit in our culture. Because don't we have so many things to do? Parents, I think it's probably only getting worse with you. My kids are 19 and 17. And now they both can drive and they can do their things. But there was a time where we were just going. And we couldn't really establish friendships or closer because we were always rushing to the next thing. Sometimes good relational growth might say, let's just not overplan the day, the week. Right? Let's just be able to involve and engage in relationships with people. Good growth for bushes or plants requires the right combination of things: good soil, light, heat, water, and the absence of weeds. Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God. We should also seek to grow in these areas. So I encourage you this morning to grow in your participation in the life of faith. I encourage you to understand and apply the Word of God so that you ultimately experience growth in your relationship with God and others. So these bushes went through a traumatic experience. They were ripped out of the ground near Allentown, PA, transported here and put in the ground, and we weren't sure what was going to happen. My prayer for all of us is that we are planted in Jesus Christ, Amen. Who's the source of life, yes. That we drink from Him, and through us connecting to Him, that He'll produce fruit in us. That's good. It pleases God, and it also pleases those around us because we're Christ-like to them. Will you pray with me? Lord, thank you so much for this chance to look into this story of you, Jesus, when you were 12, and what you experienced, what your parents experienced. And Lord, I pray you would just impress upon us, Holy Spirit, the areas that we need to kind of address. And maybe there's a couple here this morning where maybe you're just calling or asking us, this would be a good area for you to grow into. So Lord, we pray that you'd have your way with us. And Lord, I pray that as a result of this, that there would be good growth in us. Here at Coventry and the nursery school, we thank you, Lord. We give you praise for the chance to grow for your glory. May it be so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.